coming. You're beautiful. Last time I was here, it was getting dark, I think, by the time I got here. You expecting a call? What beautiful country. I grew up in farmland anyway. I grew up milking cows and drawing hay and picking apples and drop apples and everything else. So this is my kind of place as far as that. It's just really actually beautiful. Last time I was scriptural. I'm not going to be this time. No, I'm sorry. I have a handout. I'm going to hand it out, but the trouble is I don't want you to get ahead of us. Okay, you know, you get a handout in school and you start ripping through the pages and stuff, and it's long. Okay? Because it's a subject matter, I think, that all of us should be well aware of in Christianity, and I'm going to try to be thorough. And the reason the handout is so if I only get through the introduction, okay, you can take the rest of it home as far as that. Now, I've got 35 copies. I don't know if there may be more people here than that, but if you husbands and wives might need to share, I don't know if you can do that. Do the best you can. Fight over it when you get home. Would be fine. But anyway, by the way, I enjoyed being downstairs with the fellas. That's a blessing. Reminded me of myself when I was in my early 20s. I got saved when I was just about 22 years of age. I didn't know come here from Sikkim about the Bible or Christianity. I was stamped something as a kid. But this beautiful young lady invited me to a Bible-believing church who's been my wife now for 50 years next May. And invited me, and the first time I heard the gospel preached, and I thought she had told the preacher I was going to be there because he plowed down my row, you know. I mean, everything he said I'd done and was doing. But anyway, I received Christ as my Savior in 1973 in January, so it's been 50 years this last January I trusted Christ as my Savior. A year later, I was actually working at church as a youth director. And so next year in March, I'll have been 50 years actually in the ministry since that time. So I'm thankful for the privilege of being a Christian. I'm as excited now about my Christianity and living for the Lord as I was back then.
Amen.
It gets better and better. The best day you have in the world is your first day. And they get worse. But as a Christian, your worst day is your first day. And they get better. In other words, you say, hey, wait, my first day as a Christian was great. Well, let me tell you something. It even gets better. And as a preacher made mention, salvation is a great miracle, but I think the second great miracle is longevity in the Christianity.
Amen.
People are just, it's like the disciples, where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
I wouldn't know what I would do if I didn't have the Lord. You know, I'm not talking about I'm in a bad situation or whatever. I'm just talking about I don't understand how anybody can, once your eyes have been opened and see what he has made and what he has done and has mentioned this evening downstairs, it's the love of Christ constraineth me to stay by it. It's his love that makes the difference, gives us the motivation for serving. I think one of the things we need to understand is there is an attacker that we have. He's the adversary, the devil, who would love to destroy your life, your marriage, your home, your children, you name it. He is. Now, he doesn't hate you. He hates our God.
Yes.
And he knows that you and I are the object of his love, for God so loved the world, that if he can keep you from doing and being what God would have you to be, then obviously he, in that sense, has won in our lives. And that's the danger we have to be careful of. Regardless of how spiritual we think we are, and he loves us to go off on a tangent, get on a rocking horse, you know, as far as a hobby horse about something. I was talking to a fellow in our church. He came in. He had an education. I've got an education. I'm just about over it. But the thing is he was trying to convince me, and I believe the earth is round. He came in trying to convince me it was flat. And I said, and it was like he wanted, to convince me. I said, okay. I said, it's flat. Now what are you going to do for Jesus?
Right.
Because really that's the only thing that makes any difference in this world. I said, just be careful you don't fall off the edge. That's all. You know, if it's flat or what. I mean, I believe it's round. But the thing is you're arguing about the thing is, okay, what are we going to do here? Let's serve the Lord. So, Tonight I'm going to give you a handout, and on that it's exhaustive. It's 2.5 pages of 12-point type, okay? Type to myself. If you find an error, I put that in there for you because you're probably one of those people that are always looking for the errors, all right? So I did something for you as well. I apologize, but I did the best I could and tried to get it out and then had it duplicated. So I'm going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to pass that out, and then we'll get started in the book of Corinthians, and we'll through. There's a lot of scriptures. It's an outline. It's thorough, I think, in this subject matter. And so that's why I'm giving it to you, so that beyond tonight, you may have a copy of it as, and it certainly as the preacher feels in whatever capacity I happen to make mention of, that he might see it just a scooch different. He's right and I'm wrong. I don't have any problem with that at all. The Lord gives us the scriptures so we can search the scriptures in that way. I enjoyed the night downstairs. I taught in a Bible college for a while, and I taught young men. I enjoy teaching men. You ladies, I'm for you and everything else. Where would I be if there wasn't one? Okay, go mama. My mother will be 102 in November. She's lives by herself. She's on Facebook. That's the way she keeps in touch with all the family members and stuff, because she's not real mobile. She does have a driver's license now. I won't ride with her. The thing is I'm still afraid of her, okay? So that's smart. Now, I'm only 72, and so I got 30 more years to catch up with her as far as that. But she is a blessing. I go see her usually about every other morning. My other brother does, and we don't need to, but we go there and get her breakfast ready and everything else and get a chance to sit with Mama for a little while, 2 or 3 days a week, which is a blessing. And she got saved after I was saved, and she came to church and whatnot. So that was back probably in 1973 that she got saved, if I remember right. She got saved. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this pastor. Thank you for this dear church. Thank you for these folks. Thank you for here in this midweek service and this time of Bible study, Lord, that these folks are here. I pray that you'd cause our minds to be void of all the things outside that are going on in our lives. And Lord, we'd focus on your word and truth. And may we gain insight and wisdom concerning our Christian life. Help us to be obedient to you. And Lord, it is one thing to learn, but it's another thing to apply it to life. And so help us to do that. Holy Spirit, we pray that you speak to us and help us in Christ's name. Amen. I need somebody or a few people to pass out these, and you can fight them off if whoever wants more than one copy. But I see your hand coming out there, so I'll let you, and you can divide them up if you want there, my friend. Get a few more people out. I'm going to knock that water over, I'm sure of it.
We can make additional copies.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's not copyrighted. Okay. For a slight nominal fee. 2 Corinthians there, the second chapter, if you'll turn there. That's where we're going to start this evening. While you're getting that. It's about the defilement of an evil report. If you got a copy in front of you. The defilement of an evil report. Tonight I'm going to expose the member of this gathering that has caused the greatest amount of problems in this gathering. Uh-huh. I'm going to expose you.
Amen.
Expose that member, okay? In fact, I'm going to tell you the member right now, and that way nobody will be wondering if it was them or not. This is the member that causes more problems in any church, and it's that member of your body.
The
tongue. Destroys more people, more lives, more churches. Extra, really. Who didn't get one? You want one, my friend? No? You didn't get one? Just send that back there. There's a couple more here, gentlemen. But the thing is it's the tongue. And the reason I say that is that, as a preacher made mention concerning the fact of churches, many times it's for lack of teaching Scripture or the Bible and hanging on to the Bible, but sometimes they're destroyed because of what takes place amongst the people.
Come on.
And the devil getting his licks in concerning destroying. And so tonight we're going to be, as I said, made somewhat thorough concerning it. And if you have any questions, don't ask me, because I don't have any answers. but I think this it's thorough as far as getting a better understanding. So look in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, and I'm going to read from verse 8 down through verse 11. I'll ask if I, and then I'm going to put my Bible down. I'm going to steal a Bible. The Bible is in bold print here on the sheet. If I have to turn to someplace in the Bible, I'll pick it back up. I'm just thinking of having the hands to do it, okay? Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, look at verse 8. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And that's what we're going to talk about, is not many of his devices, because there are many of them, but we're going to talk about a device that he uses, and that's an evil report. It's one of the things, and what that is, we'll explain what an evil report is, but what it'll do is help us understand that we always have to be conscious of it. Mm-hmm. Okay? Amen. Now, when he says we're not ignorant of, you know, his devices, it doesn't mean all of Christendom, of every believer, knows all his devices. There's a real possibility that Paul was talking about himself and the church at Corinth because of all the things they'd experienced that we hear recorded in 1 Corinthians, but all the sin in the camp and everything else. And he's explained to them that it was our adversary, the devil, that obviously his purpose was to destroy the church. And he said, we're not ignorant of his devices because we've seen it. And some of us have seen the same thing where we see the devil has caused great destruction. So it's a matter of understanding and being conscious of the fact his desire is to be destructive. We are hopefully going to be aware of a particular device tonight so that in the future we realize where that device comes from and who's the one that's trying to destroy. In the lesson, we'll deal with one of his devices I made mention of, and that's a defilement of an evil report. There are stages of spiritual defilement. The speed by which a person is defiled depends on oftentimes what knowledge he has about the situation. For example, somebody that's fairly young in the faith, they may have already be a gossip, already a busybody, already somebody that loves evil reports, but they don't know. So they hear something from somebody about another person, and they're not really sure how to deal with that and what to do about it, and so forth. So that newer person that's exposed to that device may not get to the farthest end of the destruction as fast as somebody that has knowledge or been there or is a gossip or a busybody or somebody that loves evil reports about other people and situations. So if this is a gathering of God's people, you and I can be reminded in the scriptures, it teaches us to be not ignorant of his devices. That's and right. One of them would obviously be this matter of an evil report. Now, somebody that's already been involved in evil reports and gone to the far extreme of them, where they actually have the disease, that matter of catching it again. For example, If you are somebody that has gotten to that place where, what do they call that when you are not drinking enough water? You get to
dehydrated.
But isn't there a next step to that dehydrated that they call somebody? In the military, they put a tag on them to say that, you know, this person, if he starts acting normal, acting crazy, they're probably that, because once they are subjected to that dehydration, the thing is, they're more susceptible to it. I have a son that's that way. That one time, he got dehydrated so bad, he went to the hospital and was there a couple days because of the job he was working. He didn't drink enough fluid or enough water as far as that. And now, it doesn't take long. As soon as he feels ill or whatever, we say he had any water today. Well, somebody that's been a part of the evil report, they more than likely will catch the disease real quick. In other words, they'll skip the stages and get right to the end with it. And so that could be somebody that has been around Christianity, been around evil reports, and participated in them. Now, a spiritual Christian, by the way, somebody that loves the Lord and is faithful to the Lord, there's two things. They'll see an evil report when it shows up, or they'll have the ability to totally avoid evil reports, because people know that give evil reports realize you don't go to that person because they're not going to let you get away with it. And so they stay away from them. You'd be far better off. Isn't it amazing how some there are certain people that'll always say, boy, I can't believe what so-and-so told me. Well, if you're going to allow them to put trash in your basket, realize that's what they're going to do continually.
That's right.
And we are all going to be subjected to it in some way or another. So either we've got to deal with it properly, or we've got to get to a place where people don't even bring it to our attention. Don't tell him. I'll tell you what. You can't tell my guy anything. I'm not talking about instruction. I'm talking about that which would be an evil report. There's stages that are involved. The stages of defilement, where you get to a place where defilement is actually that idea of foulness, dirtiness, uncleanness, corrupt of morals, principles, pollution of sin, impurity. That's what defilement means. So the defilement of an evil report has stages until it gets to the end. Now, the first stage would actually be the idea of ignorance, being ignorant of the fact of an evil report. In other words, not mindful. When I first got saved, some fellas from the church came over to visit me, two fellas, and I had just gotten saved. I mean, I didn't know come here from Sikkim, and so when they came, they sat there and I offered them a beer. Don't get pious on me. I mean, I didn't know, you know. No, they didn't take it, by the way. They said, no, thank you, as far as that. I mean, I didn't know. I was new to this whole thing. I was ignorant of that. And so I did it. Now, obviously, in retrospect, I obviously look at things a little bit different. I was at a fella's house the other day, and he was showing me his man cave, and he offered me a beer, and I went, I said, no, thank you. As far as that. But I'm just saying that there are things that we are oftentimes ignorant about, we don't know, but one of the first stages of this idea of defilement is being ignorant of it. And so tonight we're trying to make people aware of it. I'm not saying that you're not already aware of it, but let me tell you something. Our adversary is shrewd. He's been working with our model for 6,000 years.
Yeah.
You know your kids from watching them. There are some kids, you won't want to leave a quarter on the table. They have a way of just kind of backing over that quarter, calling them over maybe not your children or whatever, or you go up and say, hey, did you take one of those cookies? And there's crumbs all over their lip, and they say, what cookies? Let's face it, we have that, our fallen nature that we deal with in that way. So the first stage is ignorance. Satan will gain advantage over us if we are ignorant of his devices. In 2 Corinthians 11, the second chapter, verse 11, as I read, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Ignorance is, that's not part of the verse, ignorance is being unaware of the destructive power of words, whether true or distorted. Mm-hmm. We have to be careful. Mm-hmm. Slander is an evil report. Gossip is idle talk. Rumor. Especially about personal or private affairs of other people. Did you hear about so-and-so? Do you know what they're doing? All that is letting other people know about other people's situations. Now, I'm talking about, because we always do it in a pious way. Well, I just wanted to help them.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to help them, why are you telling other people? Why don't you just help them? A lot of times we don't do it that way. James, the third chapter, it says this, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That member there is the one that's caused more destruction in people's lives, broken more fellowship, destroyed more lives, maybe even caused more people not to come to the saving knowledge of Christ because of a behavior pattern with that tongue. And the thing is, it's set on fire of hell. Maybe that's why it lays in a pool of water. I'm not sure. But that tongue is dangerous. When they say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that's not true. I remember as a little kid, people saying things to me that were hard.
Amen.
You may have remembered your parents saying things to you that were hard. Hopefully you don't do that to your kids. But the idea is that we remember those things. Words have meanings, and they can be very destructive. We have to be careful we're not ignorant of that. Sometimes we are very quick with our tongue before anything else. Ignorance of how words destroy close friendships. So what are we ignorant of? How it destroys close friendships. Proverbs 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth chief friends or very friends. So in other words, we can divide ourselves. Have you ever said something and you wish you could take it back, but as a result of it, somebody that maybe you were dear to or somebody you were friends with or somebody you didn't want to hurt, it hurt them? And there's just a little buffer zone now? The thing is because of those words we use. Ignorance because of how the unclean defiles the clean. We sold a home and it was in the country, and we had these skunks that liked to visit around our house. And I think a lot of it was because of my wife had a flower garden, but she had some bird feeders there. And when that oiled sunflower seed fell on the ground, we had all kinds of creatures that come in, even deer or whatever, but skunks would come in and they'd eat that. Well, I had a live trap, and so I would catch these skunks in a live trap. How many have ever caught a skunk in a live trap and then dispatched of it? Okay? All right. Well, what you do is you get the skunk, he's in that trap, and he's right in your backyard, just off your patio, okay? And so I would walk out with a blanket that would cover me. I'd walk real slow. I don't know how anybody else did it, but I walk over. Send my wife out. No, I'm kidding. I'd walk out with a blanket and I'd go out real slow, and the skunk, you know, apparently has bad eyesight, hopefully. And what I would do is I'd lay that over the trap like that, and then I'd pick up the trap. I had a utility vehicle and I'd stick it in the back of the utility vehicle and I'd take it up in the woods. And then, this was the worst part, the trap I had, you had to open the door. Okay? So I pulled this blanket back so the door end, it was solid though, it was a solid piece of metal so he couldn't see out that way, and I'd have to reach down and open that door for that skunk so he could vacate that trap. Yeah, I know, it was like this. I mean, you're just waiting. And, you know, I'd take a stick and I'd pull that door open, I'd stick that stick under there and I'd back way back, and I would usually send the skunk heaven with a .22 or a HMR 17 or something, you know what I mean? And I got back there and I'm waiting for that thing to go out. There, several times I've done it and they usually scoot out. Well, this one didn't. So and they really couldn't raise their tail all the way up in that trap. But I went up to that blanket and I yanked that blanket off. Boy, his tail came up right at me like that. Didn't it happen? But the thing is, I took off the other way. Why? Because I don't want to get sprayed. I don't want to have the scent. One time, the skunk was by the perimeter of the lawn near the weeds, and I went out there with the garden hose and hosed it, and when it jumped into the weeds, I shot it. And when I shot it, it was like this time of year. It might have been the spring. I can't remember. The humidity was high, and I mean, that skunk smell just hung in the air. So I went out and dug a hole in the dirt about 100 yards farther onto the property, and dug a hole and went down with a shovel, a spade, went down there and picked up that skunk and threw it in that hole to bury it. When I got back to the house, I stepped in from the garage into the house, and my wife says, "Get out of the house. You smell like a skunk." So I had to get down to my nudie duties in the garage. So she let me in the house. Why? Because I smelled like a skunk. I was clean when I went out there to dispatch of it, but I was dirty when I came back in. And an evil report will leave a stench on you.
Yes, it's good.
And it gets to a place where it smells after a while. And so a lot of times it's that way. I'm not going to read Haggai the second chapter there, but it talks about the defilement of something. Ignorant, what constitutes an evil report? What makes up an evil report? It is, listen to this, this is the definition of the whole thing. It is an unauthorized, distorted, or false report which influences us to form an evil opinion about another person.
Come on.
That's what it is, unauthorized. It's distorted, a false report which influences us to form an evil opinion about another person. Isn't that amazing? probably has never happened to you that somebody had told you something about somebody and you looked at them entirely different for the rest of your life.
Come on.
That's right.
There's something wrong. You've been contaminated.
Yeah.
By that. And that's what a evil report is. It's placing you in a situation where you're thinking about somebody differently in a more negative or in a negative sense rather than positive. Now, it's different when somebody comes up and says, listen, I'll tell you what, they have been a blessing to me. They've encouraged my heart. The other day I spoke with them. They gave me a Bible verse or whatever. That's lifting that person up. But when you receive an evil report, the person giving the evil report is trying to put the other person down so it makes them look better. Because now they just became their judge. And you were contaminated with that. So ignorance, what constitutes it? Ignorance of how evil reports are given. And this is important. Evil reports are communicated by words, obviously being told what the problem is. You heard what she did, didn't you? Or you heard what happened there. Or you heard what he did. Or you heard what, okay? Words, facial expressions. Somebody's talking to you, all of a sudden somebody's name come up and they go. Yeah. I got that one. Facial expression, gestures like that. Tonal patterns, negative or whatever. They can be subtle or obvious. They can be quiet or angry. They can be sweet or bitter. Isn't it amazing how subtle our adversary is when he encourages us of our fallen nature to be do something destructive of somebody else? Mm-hmm. For whom Jesus died.
Yeah, come on.
Regardless of what they've done. Pray tell me how you were able to abstain from any sin of this world.
Come on.
Probably haven't. But it's amazing how we don't mind letting somebody. Because now, I mean, I go to church and I read my Bible and I know some scripture and I know this. Yeah, but you know what? I know the pit from which you were dug, too.
Come on.
What wouldn't be for the grace of God, you'd be there.
Amen.
And we got to keep that in mind. Not that, I don't want a person to say, well, I really can't do anything because you know. It's not like AA. Hi, my name's Tim Young and I'm a drunk. You know, 25 years ago. No, the thing is you don't keep somebody in that particular position.
Right.
What you do is Christ elevates that person.
That's right.
But Paul knew his pedigree. He knew where he'd been. He knew what he was. And so does Tim Young. I knew the pit from which I was dug. So it's not a matter of saying, well, I'll tell you what, 50 years. Really? You know, that's about that much time. Living it. It goes by so quickly. No doubt about that. Ignorance of who gives a evil report. Whispers, one who secretly or privately passes on evil reports to others. Psalm 41:7, all that hate me whisper together against me do they devise my hurt. Gossip, one who magnifies, sensationalizes rumors and partial information. Gossip, slanderers, one who seeks to destroy another's credibility or reputation with damaging facts, distortion of facts, or evil suspicions. And you know how they are given. Many times it's so subtle, you realize what somebody just did, they just dumped trash in your basket. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you realize what they did. Hopefully, you're not ignorant of that device.
Amen.
Maybe kind of late and say, wait a minute. There's things you can do about it. Like going back and say, listen, first of all, I wish I'd not heard what you told me because it's really none of my business.
Mm-hmm.
And great. I'm disappointed you tell me something about somebody. You know, mm-hmm. we're too nervous, which I don't want to hurt their feelings. Uh-huh. They didn't mind dumping trash in your basket. I'm not saying you got to be mad, but somebody's got to say something to somebody
to
stop it in a kind, loving, Christian way. Because oftentimes people say, well, I don't want to cause any problems or any. And it's not necessary. I'm not talking about we all become spiritual policemen. Okay? But we ought to understand to protect ourselves in that. And sometimes it happens to us and we wish we hadn't heard it because now we know we look at that person differently. Mm-hmm. We have no business. We don't even know if it's true or not. Mm-hmm. In that. And by the way, if it is true, give them, cut them some slack.
Mm-hmm.
They could get it right with God and you wouldn't even know it.
That's right.
Your pastor, I know in my experiences, have heard things. There was a time when I was a young preacher and I heard things. I'd say, excuse me a minute, I'd go out and I'd bang my head against the wall. I can't believe what I'm hearing. You know? And the thing is the longer I was in it, the more I realized that we're broken.
Amen.
And we need the pieces put back together. And Jesus is the only one. I cannot do it.
That's right.
I can, get you to the fact that where God can help you get those pieces that were broken, put them back together. But I mean, sometimes it shocked me. And I'm not saying I can't be shocked now. I probably can. But the thing is that I realize, and I wasn't expecting everybody to be, and I knew my own pedigree, but the fact is I wasn't expecting the church to be perfect. But you know what goes on in churches?
Yeah.
You know what goes on in your life? Okay, so there's work to be done. There's no doubt about it. But obviously, gossip, slanderers. Numbers, the 14th chapter, verse 36. And the men which Moses sent to search the land returned and made all the congregation murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. It's something. Change it. He spent 40 years in the wilderness. Now, it's not true because they were Jews. It wasn't because somebody dropped a dime in the wilderness and they were looking for it, okay? All right? But I'm just saying they discouraged the folks by slander and difficulty. For busybodies. One who digs up reports, evil reports, and makes it his business to spread them by means of gossip, slander, whispering. Such an action is as great a sin as murder or stealing. You can't get things back that have been taken from you. All of us experience that. And there perhaps have been people that have said things about you, said things about me, and the hearer of that gossip or whatever will never look at you or look at me the same way, even if it's not even true. Because it was said. So I guess I shouldn't talk then. Or nobody should talk. That would be a good start. But I don't know how long we can do it. But in other words, we choose our words wisely.
Amen.
And realize that maybe we know something about someone else. God has allowed us to pray for that individual, not be a pipeline so everybody knows. It's important. We want to do what we can to salvage lives, not help destroy them.
Amen.
1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters.
Yeah.
Oh. There's people that have done things. I remember years ago, and I'm not encouraging this, but I remember I worked with Brother Vineyard down in Oklahoma City. Brother Jim Vineyard was former Special Forces, 6 years, 2 years in Laos. You know, he was one of these guys, he could, kill you 57 ways with his thumb. You know what I mean? He just was well-trained as far as that. He was a small weapons expert. And God saved him when he was in his 20s. And he went in the ministry. He read a tract that was written by Ford Porter down in Indianapolis, Baptist College, I think, or in that area, Indianapolis. He went to Ford Porter's College because he got saved in Moline, Illinois, reading a gospel tract that somebody left in a restroom.
Yeah.
Okay? And so he got saved, and that's where he decided to go. And he went to college, went in the ministry, and served. But Brother Vineyard was an unusual fellow. He was always 120% in everything. You know, whatever he got into, boy, he just was, if a little of something is good for you, then twice as much is better for you. You know, it was his thinking. But he would help a lot of people that found themselves incarcerated, that he was mindful of family members of people in the church or other people he found out about. He'd go down to the DA, the county DA, a city of Oklahoma City, DA, I believe it was, or county. And he'd go down there and said, listen, if you'll turn them over to my care, custody, and control, he said, after they've been sentenced, maybe to 5 years or whatever, he said, we'll take care of them as far as they'll meet with somebody on my staff every week, twice a week. They have to come to all the service, everything else. 35 times he had people that were given to his care, custody, and control, and not one of them ever had to, because as soon as he said to the DA, hey, this guy's not doing what he's supposed to do, lock him up, make him serve his sentence, incarceration. 35 individuals that none of them ever spent a day in jail because they're under his care, custody, and control because he wanted to be a blessing and help people. There was a lady that was associated, I think Bus Ministry, was associated with the church, and her husband was a drinker and an abuser. He came home one night, and he was drunk, and he beat up on her, and then he left again, and when he left, he said, I'm going to come back. He said, I'm going to beat up on you again. Well, she locked the door, and when he came back, he started yelling and banging on that door, and she took a shotgun and shot through that door and killed her husband. Brother Vineyard went down to the DA's office, and he said, I just want to see the DA for 60 seconds. That's all I need. He went down to the DA, let him in, 60 seconds. They knew each other well. Brother Vineyard said, listen, you know, that man abused his wife, beat his wife, and everything else. If anybody deserved, you know, special force guy, if anybody deserves to be dead, that guy deserves to be dead. The DA wrote on the file that was sitting on his desk, justifiable homicide. The only thing is, she came to church. But nobody even get near her.
A good reason.
Well, to your husband, I guess, right? Good reason not to get near her. But the thing is that, I mean, as far as she eventually left the church because everybody, you know, murdered her husband. Now, do you know that Paul was consenting to the death of Stephen? Held the cloaks. I mean, he was incarcerating, you know, Christian. Yeah, it was when he came back, they said, we know who that guy is. We don't want him around our fellowship. But the idea is that we have to be careful. Because when we spread evil reports, true or false, we have to be careful what the end result is.
That's right.
And that's what I'm saying, is the first thing is ignorance of what an evil report does. That's important for us to know what it is, and then certainly what it can do. Ignorance will constitute it, what constitutes an evil report. D there, how evil reports are given, who gives evil reports, the kind of people, what motivates evil reports. James, the third chapter, verse 14 says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion of every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's what we're supposed to be, is peacemakers, and not people that would cause conflict. Mm-hmm. What causes it? Bitterness, reacting because of personal hurt. Rebellion, justifying an independent spirit. Deception, believing that evil reports are right to give. Pride, wanting to exalt self. Somebody likes to tell what other people are doing just to make themselves look better. Guilt, justifying past actions or attitudes. Envy, desiring what another has. You know, somebody has something you don't have, and somehow you try to bring them down as far as in front of other people because they may have something that you don't have or have available to them, something you don't have available. We have to be careful what our tongue is used for. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
Evil report. It's a device the devil uses to divide. So when it goes back to churches and churches having difficulties and problems, oftentimes it's because of evil reports or a device the devil has used to destroy it. Because once they get in conflict, nobody talks about soul winning. Nobody talks about being a blessing to somebody that has need or a brand new Christian trying to help them to grow or whatever. They don't talk about it. They talk about the problems that are going on.
Yeah.
And that's where destruction comes. Same thing in a family. If you ever have a child that is maybe out of multiple children, right? And one of the children, for example, it has difficulty of you know, I don't want to say just following the rules, but just, you know, being a part, it just seems like they're having a problem all the time. That child controls the house.
Yeah.
At the dinner table, in devotion time, and going someplace. And there's a liability where we say, can't you be like your brother? don't say that, okay? They don't want to be like their brother, you know, or they don't want to be like their sister, whatever. The thing is we have, so a person that causes and has evil reports within a church can be, have a greater influence than we think.
That's right.
If I was to say, and I don't know the church here, but if I was to say, is anybody, does anybody here know who the city gossip is? The church gossip is? Or the person that's got, you know, that knows everybody's business? Now, don't raise your hand. Okay? As far as that. Well, the thing is that's the potential of destruction.
Come on.
Yes. And I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not mad at anybody. No. I'm just saying I've seen too many people hurt.
That's right.
Too many people have come in my office. Said, Pastor, I did something wrong, and now everybody in the church knows, and I feel I can't come into the church because it's... Now, what they did was wrong. They need to get right with God about it, no doubt about it. But the fact of somebody knowing about it and maybe sharing it with other people, not in a desire to help the individual, but just because they know it, that person's gone. I don't know how many times. They say, well, I'm going to go to another church because these people know. I think it's important for us as a church to try to be welcoming to everybody, realizing that doesn't mean that we're permitting sin or anything. It just means that we're not trying to destroy somebody.
Right.
That's the key. Ignorant of how susceptible we are to evil reports. We enjoy hearing them because they exalt us. Because we heard about somebody else and what they did was bad. They bring down or hurt those whom we dislike. We find out you got somebody you don't like, or maybe a loudmouth, or they got an arrogant spirit, or they think they know everything and are smarter than everybody else and everything. And just to see them maybe cut down just a little bit would really be nice. That would happen. Ignorance of how Satan uses evil reports to discredit spiritual leadership. You aren't going to believe this. Now, I don't know of any personally, but I'm going to tell you something. Your pastor has faults. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding either. You need to know that. I mean, but the thing is, I don't know what they may be. You say, man, I can't believe you did that. Would you stand up and, no, I mean, the thing is that everybody has shortcomings. Hello? And sometimes what we try to do is the devil's trying to give us an evil report to discredit spiritual leadership. Because God intended for us to have leadership. He ordained it. And so it's important for us to realize what the devil's... to cause Christians to close their spirit towards each other. Mm-hmm. Boy, isn't it sad when you see people that were loving friends and helping each other and always... all of a sudden they have a distance about them.
Yeah, that's good.
I thought you guys used to be friends. Well, we did. And then there goes the story. Because somebody garnered an evil report and it became whatever. And people acted differently towards that individual. To multiply conflicts and produce more ungodliness. Conflicts. Now, you that are married, I'll be married 50 years next May. And I'll just tell you what Brother Vineyard said. Brother Vineyard was preaching at the conference, and a man preached, and he stood up and he said, my wife and I have been married 25 years, and we've never had one fight in 25 years. Everybody, Brother Vineyard... he got up. He said, when I left Oklahoma City, Mrs. Vineyard and I were having a fight. And when I get back to Oklahoma City, we're going to finish it up. never a different opinion or whatever. I don't know if they, maybe they did. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful gem that is. No doubt about it. But the thing is to prompt, to multiply conflicts and produce ungodliness. Sometimes these happen. To prompt non-Christians to mock Christianity and reject Christ.
Well,
you know, when the unsight world sees Christians acting like the world,
come on.
They mock Christianity?
Yes.
So I'm not saying that we have to be careful and not let the world know what's going on. I think, just like in your family, a lot of times things that happen in your family, I want to say stay in the family. I'm not talking about wrong or sin or something illegal or whatever the case may be. But the fact is sometimes things don't get outside the home unless there's need to help in the home from the outside. Well, it's the same thing in the church. The world loves to listen to the church gossip because it justifies what they do.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
And that's what we ought to be careful of.
That's right.
I'm just trying to say, I want you to make it, and I want this church to make it. And when I mean make it, I don't mean get across the finish line. I'm just saying be faithful when Jesus comes. That's the key, is to be faithful. So the first thing, obviously, is ignorance. Second thing is exposure. When we get exposed to it, when actually it does happen in our presence. Proverbs the 27th chapter, verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So a prudent man's going to see it coming. Maybe an evil report or a situation, and he's going to stay away. Exposure is entering into the conversation or into conversation with a person who is a carrier of an evil report. How does the Lord want us to respond? Psalm 101:5 says, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, the Lord says, him will I cut off.
Mm.
Wow. You think the Lord isn't opinionated about the idea of gossip and slander and whispering and things like that? He is very conscious. He said, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Ephesians 5th chapter, verse 10 through 12. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So the Lord loathes gossips and people that spread evil reports. And so the first stage to come to the place where you get the full-blown disease is, first of all, is ignorance. Secondly, is exposure to it. That's the key. Romans the 16th chapter, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Okay? Now when it says brethren, it's also talking about cisterns too. It's talking about the family of God. It doesn't say the pastor's supposed to do it. Now, he knows the scripture, but it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Evil reports are contrary to that which we've learned. Now, I'm not talking about being arrogant, unkind towards somebody, mean-spirited because they did an evil report. But the fact is, if they're an evil reporter, I've heard Christians say, well, he keeps on putting trash in my basket. They don't say it this way. Tells me, well, what's going on in this person's life? They tell me what's going on in this person's life. They tell me what about's going on here. But they're my friend. Really? I don't want a friend that's going to put trash in my basket.
Hello.
The thing is, I'll be nice to them and kind. But the thing is, I'm going to avoid that situation. Because why? Because of the exposure. Now, we have physical protection, the defenses as far as the way we live our lives. I mean, if we know that somebody has a contagious disease of some kind, then obviously we're going to somehow try to prevent us from being exposed to it so that we might contract it. Okay? That's only makes sense. Well, the Lord has made it so that you and I aren't exposed to something and certainly don't contract some sin that is prevalent in somebody else's life. And so obviously that's where the avoiding would take place. So in the same way, the Lord gives us protective spiritual defenses to warn us about spiritual contamination. We can sense the promptings of the Holy Spirit, follow the warnings of God's word, and obey the wise counsel of human authority. Sometimes, however, we are unaware of the spiritual danger until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So in other words, the scriptures we used just a moment ago help us to protect ourselves from being exposed to something that's wrong. And obviously, the Holy Spirit, if we're sensitive to his leadership. And of course, the Word of God, wise counsel, and so forth. How to detect a carrier of evil report. Now, this gets down to the nitty-gritty. It's down where the rubber meets the road. Well, how do I know it's going to be? That's why I'm going to read these, okay? Number one, a carrier will usually test your spirit before giving you the evil report. They want to know where you are, what kind of where you are in your Christianity as far as that. They don't say, how much Bible did you read today? They're not going to do that. They're going to test your spirit to see whether you talk about generalities and talk about things that are about other people or whatever the case. Any evidence of a compatible spirit in you will encourage him to give you the report. Let's say a report about somebody else. Number two, a carrier will usually check your acceptance of his report before giving it to you. He may do this by asking for your opinion about the person or dropping a negative comment and observing your response.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. What do you think about Billy Bob? You know, he, what kind of guy is he?
Come on.
Well, I don't know. He seems to be a good guy, but I, you know, there's a couple times. Oh, your spirit is just right for this thing.
Yeah.
Well, then you probably ought to know. They're going to check you out first. Number three, a carrier will often get you to ask for the evil report by creating curiosity for it. Some starters are, have you heard about? Have you heard about?
Well.
And they'll mention, that's why it's a blank there, somebody's name or whatever the case. Have you heard about? No, no, why? What's up? And you just open yourself up. You asked. That's my excuse.
Come on.
You know, I've done a lot of traveling in my life, and in traveling oftentimes I found out one of the best things you can do when you're whether an airport or you're in some foreign country and nobody speaks English, maybe a couple people, and whatever, is could you help me? You know what I mean? In other words,
yeah.
Or the other thing is, may I ask a question? And if they, you know, you ask the question, they say, well, wait a minute, you told me I could ask the question,
yeah.
You know? But the thing is they're testing to see what your spirit is by asking, did you hear about so-and-so? No. And it may be the fact you haven't, and you may respond that way, but you need to be sensitive enough to know maybe something's coming. The truck is backing up to dump the whole nine yards, okay? And you want to be cautious. Whoa, wait a minute, before you... And they say, well, I understand. Whoa, wait a minute. Okay? You say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Listen, they don't mind offending you.
That's right.
They have no problem with that. You're just asking not to expose you to it.
Come
on. You don't want to be exposed to it. There's also in that, have you heard about, and then you are not going to believe what I heard. You're not going to believe what I heard. Well, what'd you hear? You asked. I'm going to back the truck up and dump it. But you have to be wise enough to realize, not that you wouldn't answer that question, but as soon as you know what's coming, you say, whoa, wait a minute, time out. You know, I don't want to know in that case. There's nothing wrong with that. A carrier may communicate an evil report by asking you for counsel or by sharing a concern for the person involved. You know, this is what's going on in this other person's life, and they are asking me to help them, and what would you counsel? Now, the thing is you have to be wise enough to realize whether they truly are trying to find counsel, or the fact is they're just trying to share something with you.
Yeah, come on.
You say, well, that sounds hard. Well, you can stay ignorant if you want. But there's a lot of things in your Christian life you found out about it, and you started implementing them in your life because you're not ignorant about that matter. So we don't want to be ignorant. We're not ignorant of his devices. And he uses human instrumentality to bring about his business, the devil does. And it's not always them out there in that. And sometimes people are misguided. A carrier may use evil reports to get you to admire them because of being on the inside and having access to privileged information. That's another thing. So, and then number six. A carrier is usually one who evokes vivid details of evil and will even search them out. The Lord condemns such detectives of darkness whose tongues are like sharp swords. They want to know everything, every juicy detail that situation. Now, they're not interested in helping somebody. They're not asking garden help to say, we need to help this individual. What they're saying, they're just trying to get that information and they'll pass it along. We have to be very careful about it. Ladies, you have to be wise about it. Men, you have to be wise about it. Whether it's your spouse or not, say, wait, honey, listen, that's not our business.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just leave that to rest. Now, if you want to, you know, share it with a pastor, fine. And what you heard. But it's not a matter of discussing it because, again, You don't know if the person got it all, got it right, and got it right with God, and got it right with everybody else, and they're just coming to church now because they love Jesus.
Amen.
But we're still thinking, what's going on behind the scene?
Come on.
I mean, I've seen a multiplicity of types of situations like that where people have gotten things right, and people are still looking at them in a different way. How do you detect an evil report? Okay, 5 questions to ask. Now, this is where we a lot of times get scared. When somebody's given an evil report, unless we're brash and all that. Well, yeah, look at number 1. What's your reason for telling me? No, you don't want to do that. No, hey, listen, I got something. Whoa, wait a minute. What's your reason for telling me about this other person? Why are you telling me? Widening the circle of gossip only compounds the problem. Number 2, where did you get your information? That's the question you ask them. Wait, whoa, where did you get your information? Now, sometimes they won't reveal it, so I've got to reveal where you got it. I don't want to know it. What you're doing is you're stopping a particular device the devil uses to disrupt families, churches, homes, individuals who are trying to get their life straightened out.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you have not sinned since you've been saved, but some of us have. Okay? And if that record was brought up or somebody knew, the thing is, you know, you think twice about even entertaining them as an individual.
Right.
But we're all sinners, okay? We're just trying to avoid this particular element that would cause us to be drawn into something that would be sin on our behalf. Have you gone directly to those involved? Have you talked to the people that are involved in it? This is what you ask somebody that wants to dump trash in your basket. Have you gone to them? Well, no, I'm embarrassed. I wouldn't go to them. The thing is we're trying to do and keep it to a place where we deal with it in a Christian way. Spiritually, spirituality is not measured by how well we expose an offender, but how we effectively restore an offender. How we restore them. And we don't go up to them and say, Luke, wasn't it? You go up to Luke and say, I know what you've been doing, I know how wicked you are, and but I'm here to restore you. It's not about that. I'm not, I don't have a mask, I'm not the Lone Ranger. Anybody remember that? Okay. the fact is you don't go up to somebody like that and expose because you heard something. But the fact is, you try to realize it's spirituality is how you effectively restore an offender. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Uh-huh.
Number 4. Have you personally checked out all the facts? These are the questions you could ask somebody that wants to be give you an evil report. Say, listen, before you give me, have you checked out all the facts yet? Have you talked to the people involved? And then 5, can I quote you if I check it out? No.
Yeah.
They don't want to be known.
Yeah.
Sir?
I knew a fellow that when somebody would come to him, he'd say, how about you and I go talk to him now?
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Oh. Yeah. No, what are you, crazy? I don't want to talk to him. I just want to let you know.
That is how he handled it.
Yeah, perfect. That's a perfect example. Everybody hear that? He'd go to and say, well, let's go over to that fellow right now and talk to him about it. That individual is not going to go back to that same person with any information later on about somebody else's life.
Yes.
I would rather be marked of saying, well, you can't tell him anything because, he'll expose me. But if everybody did that, and I don't mean towards one individual, we're helping those people stop giving an evil report.
Yeah.
In that, we're helping them. We're trying to be a blessing to them. And maybe they'll get it. Those who give evil reports often claim they are misquoted. This is because their words and overriding impression are reported. In other words, they're giving their opinion about something, or they're emphasizing it in some manner to make it sensationalized and so forth. So you've got ignorance, and a lot of times I've heard things and I shouldn't have listened to them. And then I realize, wait a minute, that's one of Satan's devices. You know, and the thing is I was ignorant of it, but I'm only smart of it. And the thing is, so my exposure, if I find out that you're sick or you have something that I could catch physically, the fact is that I'm going to be careful in your presence around exchanging anything. I'm not going to drink from the same cup, you know what I mean? I'm just going to be safe, just be smart. It would be the same thing of not exposing ourselves to things we don't need to think about. You know, I have enough trouble to keep myself in line to worry about other people's situation. Right. Now, I don't, God bless you, I don't ask anybody. You don't have anything, do you? I'm just to keep myself physically protected. The thing is what we want to do is make sure that we are not exposed to stuff, but we can't be ignorant. Then obviously the exposure. And then, of course, the defilement. Proverbs 26:22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Defilement is receiving an evil report from another person and believing it's true. Now, I've seen that take place.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody heard something. You know, Book of Proverbs, I think it's the 18th chapter, verse 13, I think, where it says, a man that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's a shame and a folly to him. Is that right? Is that the right verse?
Yeah.
Somewhere in the Bible, it's all good. But the thing is, he that answereth the matter, in other words, he's come to a conclusion before he hears it. So if, you know, Luke has something against me, and you hear what Luke has to say about the situation, and you rest on that situation, then the fact is you answered the matter before you heard it. That's why you meet in the court of law. You have an opportunity to defend yourself or to present the evidence on both sides. But if you've already made a conclusion based on one person saying what took place, you've answered a matter before you heard it. We have to be careful about that. Hebrews the 12th chapter, verse 15. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So in other words, if we don't deal with it in the proper way, what happens, what we're doing, we get a bitterness towards an individual. The fact is many become defiled. And that's where I'm talking about the church being destroyed, not because of the fact that the word of God's not being preached, but of it being destroyed because it's being destroyed within its very members. It's like, I have cancer, okay? Probably everybody here has cancer, okay? And those cancer cells like to multiply and grow through the whole body until... I'm going to die. Okay? Now, I'm not. Now, if I knew where I was going to die and when I was going to die, I just wouldn't go there. Okay? But I don't know where it is and when it is. Okay? So I'm going to do what I can to stay healthy. But the thing is that the whole idea is to destroy the body. Well, evil reports is a cancer. And what it does, it takes away from the body of Christ. In this locale, you are it. You're the light. And you're the lighthouse for this whole area. And if cancer gets in here, of all the devices that the devil has, and there are many of them, we're just talking about one that seems to have the ability to climb in there and crawl in there and start destroying lives. And so the thing is what you want to do is identify it. And I know what we're going to do is for the next 2 days, we're going to be going, no, I don't want to hear that. No, don't say that. Who? You know, where'd you get your information? Did you check out the facts? Let's go over there and talk to him. Or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like anything else we hear sometimes. But I think if we understand it, we're not ignorant of it, we're exposed to it as far as that, and defilement comes because now it's in our brain, we have to think about it. So if somebody says to me, hey, do you see that woman over there? She's a fallen woman. Or do you see that guy over there? That guy was in prison for such and such. And your purpose in telling me was, she needs to be saved and know Jesus Christ, and he can make the harlot pure. And the person that obviously, if you visit them in prison, you visited Jesus. I mean, the thing is what's the purpose of it? Now, yeah, if you're going to make somebody a treasurer, you're not going to have somebody that was a bank robber, necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have to use some wisdom as far as that. I'm not trying to make a hero out of somebody who's done something wrong. I was in Alcatraz visiting. Okay? And it's closed down. And I was in San Francisco, or actually I was in California, not far from there. And a state trooper took me down into San Francisco. I can't remember the name of that street. It's a snake street that goes down like this between those houses. Anybody know what that street is? But anyway, took me down there. Took me to the 39th Wharf. Is it 39th? Is it supposed to be famous or popular? I rode on a one of those cars, you know, and everything else there. And then he took me out to Alcatraz. Man, what a place. But you know what they had there signing autographs? Man, one of the guys that had been incarcerated. The reason they put him on Alcatraz, Al Capone and his type, was because they were so wicked, so evil, so bad guys, that they put him on this island out in the middle of that bay. And here's a guy, 25, 30 years later, sign an autograph. What? Who would want the guy's autograph? The guy's an animal. He's making money signing autographs. Help. Talk about a racket. We are kind of really dumb, you know, sometimes. I mean, mankind is. There's no doubt about it. Now, I wanted to get to this because I think here's a perfect example in the Bible of what took place in a situation where destruction took place, and that had to do with the story of Absalom and David, his father. And so there was a matter of defilement there. I'm just going to skip down where it says example. Absalom used an innocent-sounding evil report to steal the hearts of almost an entire nation and led it in revolt against his own father. Now, I have that section of scripture I want to read, 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 6. In those verses, I put another number there that coincides with the list of numbers underneath it. Okay, that describes what's taking place. Now, mine's on two sheets of paper, so if I keep flopping back and forth, it's not that I'm more confused than normal, okay? 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots. Now, remember, obviously, he was mad because his father didn't deal with the situation of what happened with his sister and so forth, and he's upset and everything. But here, verse 1, and it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Number one, he gathered and organized a group that would be loyal to him rather than to the one whom he served. That's what a person with evil report does. Especially when it comes to the matter of church, leadership, control, they get a group of people to gather around them. Then verse 2, and Absalom rose up early. Second thing is, he was energetic and disciplined. You take somebody that's energetic and disciplined, and if they've got an evil heart, they can get a lot of destruction and done in a very quick order. And that's what Absalom did. The guy had character. Look at the balance of verse 2. And stood beside the way of the gate. Verse number 3, he made himself available to the people. So somebody is trying to destroy something is going to make themselves available. If there's an attack on the leadership of this church or an individual in this church, I mind you, if it's by somebody, what they're going to do is they're going to build people around them that are loyal to their philosophy or their evil report. And then what they're going to do is make themselves available to those people. And it's going to grow and going to fester. That's what Absalom did.
That's
same
right.
thing. Then it says, beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, number 4, he sought out those who had grievances. Okay, every one of us at one time or another have had grievances. You know that somebody sat where I sit in that pew?
Yeah.
I mean, or something. Somebody didn't say hello to you when you passed in the hallway. Do you know that they might have just gone through a terrific situation? Give them some slack.
That's right.
Good night in the morning. Right. Are you kidding me? It's amazing how we as human nature destroy others. But when somebody had a grievance, so he found out. Yeah, I noticed the pastor, you know, he didn't do this. Or I noticed this, you know, he doesn't do that the way, you know, he did the same thing to somebody. In other words, what he's doing is finding people with grievances and bringing them all together. That's what Absalom did. That's what it says. And then it says after there, it says, then Absalom called unto him, number 5. He had a personal interest in people. In other words, he knew people by name, interest, close to them. I'm thinking of a situation that fits this to a T in a church, and it's caused destruction in the church. The person is very capable, very knowledgeable, not spiritual. But the fact is, he had the ability to convince people and bring people together and gather them together against a particular situation. Mm-hmm. And it's all based not on scripture, it's based on pride and selfishness. That's all it was based on.
Yeah.
But it started, and it took months. But little by little by little, it gathered people together until it finally came to a matter that caused great destruction.
Yeah.
Now, it's not all done yet. Because what about the people that said, if that's what church is, I'm out of here. You know, if that's what it's going to be like, I don't think that was right. That shouldn't have happened. This, but the thing is, it's that sowing the discord. So he called people, he had a personal relationship, and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see thy matter, thy matters are good and right. I mean, you have a just cause. You have a reasonable. That's, I mean, what he's doing, he's complimenting them on their particular situation. And then he goes on and says this, but there's no man disputed of the king to hear thee. So there he says, he took up the offenses of those who had been hurt. He alienated people from their authority by giving an evil report about David's leadership. Yeah. Absalom is a perfect example of this. Now, we're talking to the nth degree as far as that. That every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me. Now he's drawing the people out. He says, I'll take care of you. I'll help you. He would use his new position to increase his loyal following. And I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. So the tenth thing is, he desired acceptance and recognition as well as authority. Then it goes on and says, and on this matter did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it started with him early on, obviously, whether he had character, he was at the gate, made himself available, and everything else. He carried a tragic takeover of a nation, of the nation, with the help of those who were defiled and infected with an evil report. So in other words, ignorance, exposure here, and then obviously when we talk about the idea of defilement, we're defiled now. We've had that trash dumped on us. The next thing is the infection. Proverbs 14 chapter, verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Proverbs 26:21. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife.
Yeah, that's right.
Infection is responding to an evil report with human reasoning and emotion, rather than with spiritual understanding and genuine love. Responding to a situation with spiritual understanding and genuine love isn't done. Proverbs 17:4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. Disease is being mentally and emotionally controlled by the defilement of an evil report, by the destructive spirit of the one who gave it to us.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been told something and it's on your mind? You think about it, and every time, certainly when you see that person, man, it just brings it right back to life again. You're mentally and spiritually taken over, emotionally taken over by what you heard. When people tell me something that they don't want to have exposed, first of all, I say you have to trust me with the knowledge of, you know, what you're going to tell me. You have to trust me with that knowledge of that as to what I think is best. Because if they say, oh, I won't say anything to anybody about anything. Well, I just killed three people. Oh, yeah. The thing is, so I have to trust them. And it's an element of you build the trust. But when they would say, I don't want you to tell me, I would say, it will die with me. After I say, you have to trust me with what you tell me. And they say, well, you know, this is what it is. It's not anything, that, you know, whatever. But I tell them, it'll die with me. I'm not going to tell anybody. They'll talk to my wife sometimes at church and say, did your husband tell you? She said, he didn't tell me nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There's two reasons. One is they trusted me with it.
Right.
Secondly, I don't need to put that in her basket.
That's right.
Yes.
I just, you know, it's not for her. She's my wife.
Yeah, that's good.
And the lady doesn't say, did your husband tell her about it? No, he didn't tell her nothing. Really? Now, I don't know what goes on there, but the thing is, I really don't. If she tells me something she heard or somebody said, one of them said that to her, said, really? I say, really? I already knew it, but really? It's not a matter of what I know. And that's the way we ought to be. Sometimes we find out things. Proverbs 26 chapter, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Leviticus 19:16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord.
Yeah.
A diseased Christian has grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit by taking up the offenses of others, making them his own, and adding to them. The symptoms. On the last page. The symptoms of it. Developing bitterness and or rebellion, even though the person involved did not directly offend us. And somehow when we hear information, it causes us to be offended or bitter towards somebody. That maybe we trusted, they were our friends, whatever. I'm not saying that if you find out something, it's kind of like putting hands on somebody in church. The only time you can put hands on somebody in church legally is if they're going to hurt somebody or hurt themselves. You can't just say, that threw the guy out. Well, a lawsuit called assault, as far as that, as much as we'd like to, you know. But the idea is that we have to be careful. And so when we hear something, we have to be careful what we hear, because we don't want to make that cause us to become bitter or rebellious towards situations. You know, young people, teenagers usually expect adults to be perfect. Now, I think that's wrong. But they expect it. And when they see adults acting like high schoolers, they'll leave church.
Yeah.
Why would I want to be part of that? And it's happened in church after church after church.
That's right.
It's really a tragedy. It saddens my heart because I was a young person that got saved. I mean, within a year, before, in my first year of salvation, the church split. I'm like, see, Jesus saved me. The church didn't save me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, I was still going to heaven. I still love the Lord. But you know, a lot of people said, that's it.
That's right. Done.
I'm done. I don't think they were spiritual enough to realize, wait a minute, you're seeing the hand of man, right. Not the hand of God.
Yeah.
In this situation. You can still serve the Lord. You still can do that. Setting ourselves up as judge as the judge in matters and recruiting others to our side. That's a disease. Now we're taking sides. We're trying to get people on our side to be set in judgment of that individual. Now they may be guilty of what is known. But the fact is, you know, we're the only ones that shoot our wounded. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't try to heal them. You shoot them. Everybody here is human. You and I are closer as Christians than the world could even imagine.
Yep.
Perhaps the only unit that probably would be closer for a period of time would be like a platoon or something in a war zone.
Amen.
Where they say, we're not fighting for the flag, we're not fighting for America, we're fighting for each other.
Yeah, that's right.
And the thing is that's what we are in this world, as soldiers of the cross.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Keep that in our mind. Setting ourselves up in judge. Seeking out evil reports and using them to give the worst possible impression. We're talking about now that the disease has already been acquired. Proverbs 16:27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Believing that such wrong attitudes, opinions, conclusions, and actions are actually accomplishing the Lord's will. That's what they're doing. They think they're doing God's will. Rather than realizing that we give non-Christian occasion to blaspheme the Lord's name because of our lack of genuine love, even towards close friends. And the whisperer separateth chief friends. 2 Corinthians 6, chapter verses 1 through 8. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes and imprisonments, in tumults, in labors and watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, and the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. If we don't give heed to those who speak to us here on earth, like I'm doing tonight, how is it that we think that we will escape if we don't give heed to God's word? Now, we receive instruction from somebody, a parent, a leader, somebody responsible. And I don't mean just quoting scripture, but giving information. If we don't hear them, how is it that we think that we're going to listen to God's word? Hebrews 12, 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? In other words, I don't think I need to listen to that person. Now, if they're saying the right thing and they're guiding you in the right way, then that same attitude is not going to cause you to listen to what God has to say. And they may be synonymous. I don't know. Mm. Symptoms of the infection. Here's a symptom. You go to the doctor, you say, what's your symptom? Well, doc, it's like the guy says, doc, he went in, he said, it hurts here. He said, it hurts here. He said, man, it hurts here. He said, man, it hurts here. It's here. He pointed all of his body, and the doc gave him a full examination and realized his problem was he had a broken finger. That won't cost you anything. That was free. Okay? Symptoms of the infection. Believing the evil report is true. Automatically believing it's true. Yep. Secondly, forming negative opinions based on the report. Got an attitude towards that person, or I got a thinking towards that family or that situation, or that individual, or that leadership, focusing on the negative aspect of the person involved. Isn't that something? If we even read in Christian history about the people that served God that had unbelievable backgrounds, I mean, but by the amazing grace of God, they were saved, transformed, and were used in a great, mighty way. If we even had an inkling of what history has been, in God's economy, we would shudder at the idea of how we're condemning somebody because of some evil report. So focusing on the negative aspect of a person involved. Interpreting the person's words and action as supporting evidence. That's something. You know, you listen to the person. Yeah, you're right. I think you're right because that person, you know. In other words, their mind is already set in a certain pattern. So anything the person says, does, can, and will be used against them. Regardless of what it is. Judging motives on the basis of the evil report. No, the only reason they did that is because they're trying to cut. Again, we're judging their motives. Backing away from the person in your spirit. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Telling the evil report to others.
Come on.
Ourselves. Now, folks, I know it's fairly exhaustive and you've got this long thing in front of you. You may use it to start fires tonight if you need one. But the thing is, it really will help all of us understand that destruction comes from that member there that the Bible says is set on fire of hell. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Without explanation, how many have ever heard an evil report come from somebody? Okay. All right. Whoa, wait a minute. Let's go a little further. How many, when you heard that, felt defiled, dirty, or whatever, you wished you hadn't heard it?
Yeah.
Okay, the rest of you wished you heard it. Glad you heard it? All right. I'm not going to go on and say how many ever told the evil report to somebody else. You know, we're going to have an altar call, and you can come up here and go pray with God as far as that. I'm just saying that, you know what, I wish many years ago I'd understood that in a greater way, because my initial response is Christians want to do the right thing, and they're going to do the right thing, but not always. And I'm not saying that I always have to work on their old nature, because the Bible says that we're supposed to let the old man die and the new man live through us, as far as that. That's why, as was mentioned tonight, that's why Paul said, I die daily and live to Christ each day. So let me encourage you to think about it in your fellowship, in your family, in everything, even between husband and wives. You don't need to dump trash in each other's basket.
That's right.
Just keep it
in
your relationship. That's all. And if you find out together, make a pact. Say, listen, let's just pray for that person and let it go. It's not ours. Now, if it's somebody that needs help, you feel like you can help them without being prideful or judgmental or condemning, you're lucky you have me as a friend. You know, the thing is just be a blessing. And it may be a matter of telling the preacher. Mm-hmm. To say, preacher, I heard they have a need, going through a tough time. They're having a problem with this. I heard it. Or they spoke it to me. And I don't know what to do with it. Now, sometimes you hear it because you can help that individual. That person chose you.
Amen.
Not to say, would you let everybody in the church know this? They don't normally say things like that, okay? And they're not asking you to let everybody know. They're expressing their heart. And it's just like the preacher in the office. Somebody opens their heart. It's not for, we just go around and tell everybody now. No, it's the fact is that it was there, put out there, so we can figure out scripturally what to do with that situation. I'm glad we don't have any time for questions, because I don't have any answers. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, for these dear people. Thank you for it. I enjoy being here. What a blessing it is to be in this fellowship. And just feel the sense of your presence here, just because of the right spirit. But Lord, we do have an adversary, the devil. Help us not to be ignorant of his devices. And one that seems to be so destructive is when he uses our own tongue against us and against the fellowship of God's people. Help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Mm-hmm. And Lord, help us to be a blessing to those people you've allowed us the privilege of coming in contact here on this earth. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.